606 on RTE 2FM with Griffith College. GCD.ie for whatever career you choose. Griffith College. Who do you want to be?
Well, busy show lined up. We will get going with some work this evening. Pat Doyle, we'll start with you in physics. You're very welcome to the studio.
Good evening, Alan. Great to be here again.
You're very welcome. Now, Pat, higher level, Leaving Cert physics paper. Questions coming in already, but let's begin with a more general look at it. Talk to us first of all about the time management that people should have in their heads when they go to the exam hall.
Yes, the present examination is in existence for 5 years. Basically, they have to answer 8 questions, 3 from Section A, 5 from Section B. Now, the golden rule normally with time is the more marks a question earns you, the more time you spend on it. However, strangely enough, I find myself breaking that golden rule because the Section A questions are worth 40 marks each. The Section B questions are worth 56 marks each. And I find that, strangely enough, both sets of questions take about 20 minutes each. But that makes it very easy for the student. So if you start with Section A, 3 20 minutes will take you through the first hour. Maybe spend maybe 5-10 minutes having a read through Section B. Choose your 5 questions wisely. Be guided by the marking scheme which is on the exam. And basically give yourself 5-20 minutes, you know, for each of the questions. You add all that up, you're basically coming to almost 3 hours, maybe shy of about 10 minutes. So if the exam starts at maybe say 9:30, which indeed it does, you'll find by about 12:20 you should have your 3 A's, your 5 B's done. And it's a very simple guideline, 20 minutes per question. And I actually base that figure, oddly enough, on speaking to students. And I actually, after the exam, 2 or 3 days after each year, I will actually sit down and actually write out the questions myself. So it's actually based on my own experience of physically writing out answers, in addition to talking to students who have actually sat the exam. And I'm slightly surprised myself that I would advise, you know, the same amount of time for 2 different questions with different marks. But that seems to be the nature of the present exam.
When students go in, do you think they should read right through the paper first, or do you advise your approach, that's section by section?
That's a very good question, to which I don't think we have a very good answer.
Other teachers are saying, you know, read through the whole thing, get a sense of what you're looking for.
If a student is nervous, the first thing I say is, okay, get doing some work to kind of relax yourself. Now, in Section A, they have very little choice. 4 questions, you got to do 3. But the great thing is they can recognise those questions straight away because they can only be asked mandatory experiments. And any student who's organised will actually have themselves very well sorted out for Section A. And by the way, I might mention, last year, 2 of the questions were repeats from the previous 4 years. I reckon this year, 2 or 3 will be repeats from the previous 5 years. So get out those past papers. And if you don't have solutions, if you don't have solutions from teachers or whatever, get onto the department's own website. Go onto like www.examinations.ie. They can get all the information they need, papers, marking schemes. So I think if you settle down, do your 3 questions, you know, you get 1 hour behind you, you'll relax, you'll be in the swing of the exam, then go read your questions from Section B. However, I think the more cool customer is dying to see, gosh, what came up this year in Section B. So if you think you're a cool customer, okay, have a read in Section
B. BA student,
absolutely,
I'm thinking,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely, yes. And choose your questions, okay? And then settle into doing. I always suggest get Section A out of the way, first of all. They tend to be easier questions, just a little bit more time consuming.
I'm really glad you mentioned examinations.ie because, again, that has been mentioned before. And generally, if people go to that site, they will find huge, just very good advice, really going back over the examiner's reports, just tips and hints where they say where students gone down in the past, what has tripped them up, what are the knots that people need to learn to untangle. Very plain advice there. And that can be well worth a couple of minutes through all that site.
Because one of the old myths about the Leaving Cert, for example, in physics was that, say if you're asked to state Coulomb's law, people think, oh, you must state it verbally. No, not true. You can actually state it mathematically if, and the if is, if you explain clearly the meaning of the symbols. Now, people say, oh, I was told, you know, you won't get full marks for that. You don't have to listen to me. Go onto the website. It's the department's website. And you can see clearly it's either, you know, written in words or written in mathematical format. But I quickly add, make sure you explain the meaning of the symbols. And it's great for that.
Again, with physics, and we will go in more in depth into the paper, but again, writing your work, bringing people on the journey, I imagine that's key.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes, yeah. I mean, I think it's a matter of just getting started on the examination, and once you make a start, then I think get a few questions out of the way. That's a good way to start off.
Okay, so you're not recommending a rejig for people at all. Stick with the order in which the paper is presented
to
them. Go in, do your section, do your mandatory experiments, that kind of sets you up. It gets you thinking. It gets you, yes. you know, a little bit of confidence.
Absolutely. I think there's not, like, as I always say, nothing succeeds like success, because you kind of know that the students know what questions are going to get. I mean, I might just tell you very briefly, in Section A, you're going to be given data on a particular question. OK, so, you know, you either put it into an equation, draw a graph. You'd be asked to draw a labelled diagram, OK, of the particular experiment. You'll definitely need two or three kind of precautionary steps to improve the accuracy of the experiment. So it's a kind of a very set format. And if you they have five past papers now to look at. They even have an actual official sample paper. So they'll have a very good idea. And I think Section A will settle down the student really nicely. That'd be my advice, OK? However, as I said, it's always, you're always dying to know what's coming up in Section B, where you have a much, much better choice. And then when you are making a choice, choose carefully. Unlike some subjects, you're actually given, well, more or less the marking scheme in physics to give you the breakdown of the marks. And you very simply, as you read a question, tick off the bits you feel you can do and add up a total score for that question. And then clearly and logically, you know, do the five questions out of the eight that'll give you the highest marks.
Okay, so going into Section Two then, you've your three mandatory experiment questions tackled.
Yes.
And you now are focusing into this. This is a more general section. This can throw up some surprises.
It can, but I have to say, in fairness to the examiners, they stick very, very closely to the syllabus. I would expect of the eight questions, you'll get one, I'll use the word, a nasty question, but it may be a bit of a twist, a horrible surprise. Avoid it. Simply don't do that question.
Is that there for A students?
Well, to test them?
Not
necessarily really to test, because the A student will have more or less everything covered and mm-hmm. he will be well able to actually to avoid that question. Okay, it's more tends to be maybe a bit of a twist of a mathematical nature. So that would suit the student who might be naturally gifted with mathematics, maybe doing applied maths as well as a physics. So it's good for students.
So is there
like
a
that.
Warning sign that somebody should be able to read off that question? They go, hang on a minute, this ain't for me.
Yeah,
if you can't do it.
Exactly. If you can't answer, that's the warning sign. Absolutely.
You
yes,
need
yeah.
no better warning.
Absolutely.
Move quickly
very,
on,
very
please.
Clear. Yeah, yeah. I will say students are very, very quick at deciding and noticing these warning signs.
Okay,
absolutely,
so that's good
yes.
for a very strong mathematically based
yes.
student. That's one that
yes,
can work
yeah.
well for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yet, don't let me put anybody off by mentioning that, because there's this kind of myth, again, you have to be a genius at mathematics to do physics. Not true for the Leaving Cert.
I still don't believe you.
No.
Tell me why.
Okay,
convince
well, first
me.
Of all, in college, you want to do a degree in physics, you must be very mathematical. Absolutely, yes. Because, I mean, mathematics is the language we use to communicate in physics. Now, bring that down a step, bring that back down to the Leaving Cert. Not everybody doing higher level physics, for example, will be doing higher level maths. In fact, it's not even necessary to do higher level maths. We actually don't
but
even
people
use
think they shouldn't even go near your classroom.
But that's
unless
not true.
They've honours maths.
Oh, no, absolutely not true. I mean, for example, calculus, which is one of the most important areas in mathematics and a very, very important area for physics, certainly in university level, we don't use calculus, okay, at Leaving Cert level. Much, I'm sure, to the annoyance of the university professors. But we can manage to do a very good job without the need for calculus. Now, the point is just this. Almost all the questions at the moment in the Leaving Cert Physics involve writing down a formula, which I quickly add, you have to memorise, mm-hmm. and pop in the numbers. In other words, substitute the numbers into the formula, take out your calculator, do a bit of multiplying, dividing, whatever it is, and write down your answer. So I think what we have would be maths questions, not maths problems. And there's a very clear distinction. You'll get one, at a push, two problems in the exam. The others are maths questions. And that's one of the points I always make.
He's
when
smiling
I teach.
At
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Am I convinced? Kind.
No. I mean, well, okay, I'll put a simple example to you, which I'm sure you'll really enjoy. they ask you to calculate, say, an electric field intensity. Now, the mathematical formula, if I just call it out over the air, is it's Q over 4 pi epsilon 0 d squared. Now, the kids need a value for the Q, mm-hmm. for the epsilon, and for the D. They're all given to you, okay? You substitute them in.
And then you follow the rule over squared.
Just go use your calculator, you know. Work out the bottom line, divide into the top line. Don't forget your units. Get full marks. And full marks could be, you could be talking like, say, 12 marks. That's 3% of the exam.
People do well in physics.
Oh, they do, yes. See, the quality of the teaching in Ireland is excellent in physics, so I suppose really that has a lot to do with it.
Particularly impact yeah. towards classroom, clearly. Okay, just can we talk a little bit about the use of calculator here? Because, you know, the wonderful thing about the calculator is that it gives you an answer. The problem with the calculator is that it gives you an answer.
Exactly.
How best can people use their calculator effectively
okay.
in the exam?
First, one very important rule. Don't dare buy a new calculator the day before the examination.
Keep warning. Granny's present
absolutely,
the night before.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you, Granny, and put it in
thank you,
the
but
back
no, thank
of
you.
The
exactly,
drawer.
Yeah. Make sure it's
the one you know,
totally
the one you've worked
familiar
with.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the golden rule. Now, in fact, in the last, say, 5 years, the the examiner deliberately sets questions that require the use of a calculator. In other words, it's in a way of encouraging students to use calculators. I mean, compared to many, many years ago when they were banned. I mean, even if you think of it at junior cert level, calculators have only been allowed in very, very recently, which is kind of silly. Like, I mean, they should have been allowed in years ago. But with a calculator, your main problem is, can you use scientific notation?
Now, ordinary level, I know you were saying that in some ways both papers bear a lot of similarities.
They do, and the advice as regards timing would still apply to the ordinary level. The main thing to watch out for there is
so that 20-minute bites nearly.
Absolutely, yeah. Is that in many, many schools, the students who do ordinary level are in the same class as students doing a higher level. Now, teachers, and I would include myself in this, we might maybe, when we're revising, spend maybe a lot of time on maybe mathematical style questions. Now, you get very little of that at the ordinary level. So if you're a student and you're in a kind of a mixed class, higher level, ordinary level, a lot of the good advice that the teacher might have been, you know, giving out may not necessarily apply to you. Now, my advice to these students would be, take your past papers, check what's been happening for the last 5 years, and you'll see little patterns starting to emerge. Don't worry so much about maths. And by the way, they give you the mathematical formula on the ordinary level, which they do not do on the higher level. Basically, it's same course. The questions, I think in simple terms, the questions are easier. Mm. Absolutely, yes. And the same advice for the higher level would apply to the ordinary level. One thing to remember, and the section on the option that could be either what's called particle physics or applied electricity is not on the course for the ordinary level. So it's a little bit of less work the students have to do.
Okay, lots of questions coming in, both for you, John. We'll come to you in a minute on economics, but Pat on physics on 51552. I'm doing ordinary level leaving cert physics. Help me, please. What experiments would come up, and is there any chance of anything on renewable energy coming up? Can I say, as I say, every single night around this time, none of our teachers have a sample paper. Do you, Pat?
Absolutely not.
Do you have next week's paper? No, but we will do our best to steer you. We do not have the paper. Yeah. So any advice given comes with a health warning.
Okay.
With that in mind, Pat, what an ordinary level leaving cert physics student who's slightly struggling,
be very careful, because the way people sometimes approach this is they look at what came up last year, what came up the year before, and they'll say things like, oh, I can leave those out. Not very, very wise. I mean, okay, just one mention for the higher level. A lot of people would have been taken by surprise last June where the question on light was an almost identical repeat of 2 years earlier. Mm. So if you wanted to maybe omit something from your study, maybe if you leave out what came up last year, 2006. But after that, my advice is, I know we all tell our students to do as much as possible, but it's possibly the safest advice. Do remember the physics exam is a Monday morning. Mm. You have Saturday and Sunday. There'll be no exams those days, and you can get a lot of work done. One solid piece of advice I'll always give to students would be things like definitions. That the old reliables, you can get, you know, 15, 16, 17% of your exam from definitions alone. And if I could quickly add, section A is worth 30%. Put that 30 with your definitions. You're now knocking on the door of 50%. Mm. So you're out of the danger zone, which I think for a lot of people...
And everything else is adding to...
Absolutely.
It's bringing you upgrades.
Absolutely,
absolutely. But you've actually,
yes.
Okay, let's fly through these. Renewable energy. Any chance come
renewable energy, it would be a very, very general term. It's very, very kind of say topical, and the department love anything that links physics out to the real world. Yes, it's something to be aware of.
Okay. In honours physics, is there any chance you could leave out electricity?
Very, very dangerous. The one thing I'll say is, if
I know you're
really,
not going to say
no, no. If you're really badly stuck,
to every question
no. If you're really badly stuck, learn the electrical experiments. Cover yourself for section A, and then your gamble is not as dangerous. So, do the experiments and maybe leave out the rest. It's not advisable to do that, but if you're stuck at this stage of the year, that's what I would suggest. Cover yourself for section A in electricity, and then maybe take a little gamble with the section B.
For physics, would I get away without doing the option? Love the show, don't I?
Yes, you would. As much as I hate to say that, but particle physics is certainly last year is a wonderful section of physics. It's very, very exciting. But the simple answer to that question is yes.
Does he think coplanar forces will come up? Thanks.
Very good. That's a very astute student. That question was featured in 2002. It was a brand new experiment and hasn't been on for 5 years. That student is going places.
Coplanar forces to reception,
yeah,
please.
Yeah.
6:06.
Pat, will I be all right if I leave out electromagnetism and do everything else?
Yes. Simple, short answer. It's a section that has no mandatory experiments and you're playing it very safe. It's possibly the one
you really
safe
mean that because you're very cautious about
cutting
things out.
Most you'll ever get is one full question in section B. There's 8 questions there. You only have to answer 5. It's possibly the safest topic to leave out. A bit of a pity because, again, it's a wonderful topic, but students, in fact, do find it conceptually difficult. And for the last 5 years, it has only been a half question. So I think you're playing it safe, yes.
6-0-6.
Hello, is it safe to bank on a heat experiment? And I'm also interested in pursuing physics after school.
Oh, congrats. Wonderful. Yes,
I think the
question is looking very, very likely.
The heat question.
The heat question, absolutely. Okay. Section A. And again, you've got 3 main guys to watch out for: the specific heat capacity, the specific latent heat of fusion, the specific latent heat of vaporization. That's obviously a very wise student, yes. Heat looking very good for Section A.
You're really complimenting the physics students. It's quite crawling, sure. Really. With regards to physics, is it possible the Wheatstone Bridge will make an appearance in Part B? Thanks, Deirdre.
There's a very sharp student again.
No. That's why they all want to do physics after.
Another time, is there?
Absolutely, yeah.
You better physics, praise your economics students soon, John.
The Wheatstone Bridge is an old-fashioned device for measuring electrical resistance. Nobody would use one today. For some strange reason, not only did it stay on the syllabus, but on the sample paper, it was actually, there was a full question based on the Wheatstone Bridge. Now, I must say, as a teacher, I was very surprised by that. And the way I would say, well, good gosh, maybe someone in there, like, you know, actually likes this Wheatstone Bridge. So it is possible, yes, that it could be a full question. And one little reminder, it has some practical uses, even though it's a very old-fashioned device, things like temperature control, fail-safe device, which, by the way, is what stops you getting gassed in your house, God forbid, if the pointed light goes out. So just know a little bit about the practical uses of the Wheatstone Bridge.
Would you say radioactivity might come up in higher-level physics, Pat?
Yes, looking quite likely, yes.
Okay, can I leave out mechanics, which I find very hard, and still get a good mark, an A or B?
Okay, advice there is, if you're really having trouble at this stage, learn your experiments, okay, in mechanics, and then you can gamble, provided
you're
not
leaving. Are you sacrificing an A or B there by doing that? Possible. If the paper doesn't go against you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, no, you can still get an A, but just cover those experiments.
Does the option particle physics come up as one solid question every year at higher level?
Does not necessarily have to. Most years, yes. One little thing there, they have a tendency last couple of years to mix in a small bit of nuclear physics with the particle physics. I don't think it's a fair thing to do, but you're not guaranteed a question. You're 99% certain there'll be a question on the particle physics or the other option if you choose it.
6.06 on RTE 2FM with Griffith College. GCD.ie for whatever career you choose. Griffith College. Who do you want to be?